title of my sermonette today is Thy Will Be Done. Christ taught us to pray, Thy Will Be Done. And behind this simple statement is an essential attitude that every Christian must have. The phrase, Thy Will Be Done, is found three times in the King James Version of the Bible. The first place, it is found in what is commonly been called the Lord's Prayer. Actually, this, as we know, was a model prayer that Jesus used to teach his disciples how to pray. And in the Lord's Prayer, Christ began his example of how to pray, saying, After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as it is in heaven. And that's in Matthew chapter 6. Luke recorded the same instruction from Jesus in his gospel. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. That's in Luke chapter 11. In this short outline, we see that the subject Jesus first brought up after addressing and showing honor to God, the Father, was God's kingdom. He tells us to pray for it to come to earth. And then he instructs us to pray God's will might be done here on earth, given even as it is in heaven. Since God is all-powerful and does whatever he pleases, and that's also in Psalm 115, verse 3, why do we need to pray for his will to be done when it's going to occur anyway? So have you ever considered that Christ may have included this model prayer in order to help us align our thinking and actions with God's purpose and plan for us? When we pray for God's will to be done, before we ask him for our daily bread, our daily needs and wants, we acknowledge that what God is doing is far more important than our activities. This subtle yet significant point reminds us of our spiritual priorities. God's plan and purpose for our lives, his will, must come first in our lives. God's purpose for creating human beings is for them to ultimately become members of his family and live with him forever in his eternal kingdom. This process begins with human beings created as physical mortal beings who must hear and respond to God's instructions as given through his prophets and his son, Jesus Christ. Explaining Christ's background and the reason for him coming in the flesh, John wrote, He was in the world and the world was made through him and the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. In this passage, we know that it is God's will for humans to respond to him and become his children. God the Father is one who calls us. After receiving this calling, we must repent of our sins, be baptized, and have hands laid upon us to receive the Holy Spirit. Through the indwelling of God's Spirit, we change and become converted. Describing this process, Paul wrote, And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Addressing this same process to the Corinthians, Paul explained, But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in that same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. God's will for us is that we gradually change from humans with natural human actions and ways of thinking which are not in harmony with God's law to people who think and act like God. Although God is all-powerful, he has temporarily allowed an evil spirit called Satan, the devil, to influence mankind. Satan is referred to in the Bible as the god of this age who has blinded the minds of people who do not believe. Through deception and lies, he deceives the whole world. At this time, God's kingdom does not reign over the earth as it does in heaven where God is. Yet God's kingdom is destined to take over all the kingdoms of this world. Long ago, God gave the prophet Daniel a vision of this change. And in chapter 7 of Daniel, he said, "I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed." And also in the seventh seal of the book of Revelation pictures the return of Jesus Christ to this earth to establish the kingdom of God. Describing the vision he had seen from this future event, John wrote, "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.' As for this process of all the governments of man being replaced by the kingdom of God, this is the point Jesus was making in his model prayer when he taught us to pray, 'Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.'" In our communication with God, we are to pray for this momentous change that will mark the end of Satan's influence and human misrule and the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth to bring peace and prosperity and stability to all peoples. Prior to his crucifixion, Jesus prayed to his Father about this great trial that he would face. Knowing the pain that he would soon experience, he went again the second time and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." This is the third and final time that we find the phrase, "thy will be done," in the King James Version of the Bible, and that's in Matthew 26, verse 42. In this case, even though Jesus would have preferred not to have suffered as he did, he yielded to God's will. This prayer raises an interesting question. Was Jesus unaware of his Father's will about his upcoming crucifixion? And a few scriptures that provide the insight. In Revelation 13:8 speaks of Jesus as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This means that God's plan for his Son to give his life for the sins of the world existed from the very beginning. And furthermore, Jesus has taught his disciples that his ministry would include giving up his life. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Later he again taught, "And I, if I am lifted up from earth, will draw all peoples to myself." So why did Jesus pray that he might have to suffer crucifixion, yet at the same time also yield to the will of his Father? Could it be that as he had done regarding baptism, he was modeling the behavior we need to practice? Even though Jesus wasn't looking forward to the suffering he would have to endure, he was completely committed to fulfilling the will of his Father. As Jesus explained, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." As we live our lives, we need to have that similar "thy will be done" attitudes. Living in accordance with God's priority, with God's will must be our top priority. Seeking God's kingdom must be the primary focus of our lives. And if we do as God commands, we can look forward to hearing these wonderful words, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world."